Peacemaking for Families on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Robert Jones. He has served as biblical counseling professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky since 2016, and recently he became the department chair. Prior to this, he served 19 years as lead pastor in West Virginia and then 12 years as a full-time professor at Southeastern Seminary. Bob is a certified Christian conciliator with the Institute for Christian Conciliation and a member and fellow of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. He's written 5 books, including Uprooting Anger and Pursuing Peace, several mini booklets, and numerous chapters and articles on counseling and pastoral ministry. Bob and his wife, Lauren, have been married for 40 years, and they have 2 married sons and 2 Christian daughters-in-law that he considers them to be top shelf. I love that. That's a really good description. This is what we pray for in our family as well. And then he also has 4 granddaughters. He serves as an elder, counselor, counselor trainer, adult teacher, and nursery worker at Hunzinger Lane Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Bob, it's always good to be with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dale. And yes, they indeed are top shelf daughters-in-law. My son's married up by God's goodness.
Well, amen. And I'm going to start praying exactly that for my children. Lord, give us top shelf. That would be great. So I love that. So now we're going to talk today about peacemaking, and we're going to talk about how to deal with conflict, how to resolve conflict. And, you know, in my counseling experience, Bob, I'm sure it's the same in your counseling experience. When you have issues of conflict, they're usually in significant relationships. They're usually in those vulnerable relationships. Oftentimes in family, high percentage of these types of problems exist in the family. So we want to talk about this today within the context of how do we do peacemaking? How do we pursue that within the family? Now, let's talk as biblical counselors. You know, we often seek to root our counseling in the bigger context of God's redemptive work in the Lord Jesus. I want you to describe, if you can, Bob, how do you see biblical peacemaking reflecting God and the gospel, seeing this redemptive work, this work of conflict resolution and peacemaking within the broader context of God's redemption?
Yeah. And let me just echo, you know, and when I think about family relationships, probably the person with whom I've had the most conflict in my 40 years has been my wife because of our closeness. And you get 2 sinners together, that's what happens. You know, when I think about the gospel, Dale, it's such an interesting passage of scripture. In Romans 16:20, Paul says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." That's that glorious gospel promise. But it's interesting, Paul calls him the God of peace, and he's alluding back to Genesis 3:15, where there's this wonderful promise that I will put enmity between you and the woman, right? God is speaking to the serpent. Between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. It's as if the whole gospel of the crushing of Satan, the whole redemptive storyline that starts in Genesis 3, is all done by a particular God who was named the God of peace. And when you look at the whole of Scripture, you see that in many ways, it is the work of God, the God of peace. That's what the gospel is really all about. And so we want to try to bring that right into the family life.
Now, I love this as a framework, Bob. The way you set that up, I think, is so helpful. And that we see as a part of God's story that pursuing peace with us, I think that's brilliant to think about Christ in that way. But sometimes we get lost in sort of the high and lofty theological understanding, and man, what does that mean on the ground? And we have a tendency to think about resolution or redemption or peacemaking, and we start to get pragmatic in some ways. I mean, what I see a lot is where, you know, peacemaking or how to deal with conflict is often reciprocation. Well, I'll do this for you, Bob, if you also do this for me. And at some point when that breaks down, then conflict ensues, and we can't get over that, and we decide to change our environment and that sort of thing. So if I were to ask a follow-up, how does this framework that you've just set up for us, that God is a God of peace and we see this redemption pursuit through the whole story of the Scripture, how does this impact married couples on the ground? How do we think about that in a very practical way and how they should pursue peace with each other and the way we as counselors should help them to do that?
Yeah, it's tempting to want to give a lot of, you know, here, go do this and fix it type things. But as biblical counselors, Dale, you and I would share this conviction that it is the work of God in us and the work of Christ in us. And so for me, the starting point has to be a recognition of this work that God has done in my soul, my own sin problem. And I think of passages like Matthew 18, 21 through 35, where, you know, I am that person who owed God a multi-million unpayable debt. And he has come to me in Christ and he's forgiven that. And it really does change the way I look at those family members, you know, with whom I have conflict. And so Jesus and his word is really driving everything that we do.
I love that. And that helps to bring theology to real life. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. But Bob, I have to be honest with you. Like I find this difficult at times. And I think about this even right now, I'm very convicted as we talk about this. And the things that I know intellectually and in my mind and all the things that you said like ring true, but the practice of it is a different matter. The next thing I want to ask you about is the steps to pursuing peace. Like this is intentional. This is something that we have to pursue. It's not just because we know these things intellectually, we're going to have peace with one another. We actually have to pursue that. So I want you to talk a little bit about some of the steps that we should take to pursue peace within our families.
I use a three-step, three-phase, three-movement model, Dale, in response to that grace of God. And I can't emphasize that enough. We really need to start there. But as God works his grace in my own ministry and in my life, I hope in my marriage and friendships, I want to do really three things in response to grace. I want to seek to please God. And that is not just a cliche, and we in biblical counseling talk about it a lot, but I, you know, there's some really practical steps that that would entail. I seek to please God. As I'm seeking to please God, I realize that I have to deal with my own contribution to the conflict. So I'm typically going to think in terms of repentance, and I think of that on both the heart level, James 3, James 4, passages that probably a number of our listeners are very familiar with. And then that should move me into the behavioral level, where I think of dealing with the logs or planks in my eye, and then how do I go ahead and make things right with that person? And then from there, I'm moving into what does it look like to show mercy, to be forgiving? What does forgiveness entail? And how do I confront a person? But all those are the kind of the third step here of love. How do I love that person? But it begins with me seeking to please God. And it begins with me then dealing with my own contribution, my own sin.
Now, I think it's interesting that you start there. And that's 100% the right place to start. And I think this is conceptually where people have a hard time at starting with pleasing God. Yeah, I know that. But like, how do we do this? So I want to dive a little bit deeper on that particular point about following or pleasing God. Why do you start there? And then, you know, how do you help people to make this their goal when they've been blinded to it before?
Well, it's vital for me to start there because my motivation to want to pursue peace with my wife or friends or children, and also the power to be able to do that is going to come from God. And so I have to have my vertical relationship with God right with him so that I can receive from him his modeling, his forgiveness for my failure, and his power by his Holy Spirit to actually pursue that. And so making that our goal, you know, a lot of us in the biblical counseling world, you know, always think, and rightly so, about 2 Corinthians 5:9, right? Our goal in life is to please God. And then, you know, I dip down to chapter 5 of the same chapter, verses 14 and 15, where 15 ends by saying we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. And so it's the power of Christ and his resurrection that motivates me to want to please God. And that leads to all sorts of practical implications in terms of conflict.
Now, you mentioned practical implications. I think that's necessary for us to flesh out a little bit because you talk about pleasing God. We get a counselee on the same page. They see it written, as you referred to, in the pages of Scripture. We see this as our motivation. They might even be able to see that their lack of pleasing God in their life has contributed to some of this conflict. How do you help them see some of the implications to pursue peace for a couple as they seek to please God?
Well, I have 9 implications, and I'm going to start there, and you can lead me as much as you want there, brother. But I think the first implication in many ways is to realize that a failure to seek to please God is the ultimate cause of all conflict. All conflict is going to come from one or both parties, usually both. Someone in this room, as I've said in counseling sessions, someone in this room is not seeking to please God. I think that's really going to be the starting point, again, in response to God's grace. The second goal here, or the goal, the second implication is this goal keeps our focus on God. It is so easy in my marriage, I suspect in yours as well, that when you have a conflict, you're going to walk away from that conflict thinking one or two wrong directions. One is, I'm thinking about the issues themselves. I can't believe that's her view. She's wrong. And, you know, Dale, maybe like you, I have never lost an argument within my own mind. It's just, I'm going to be pigheaded on what I think is right. The other way I can kind of misapply this whole thing is focus on her behavior. Why did she say that? How come she interrupted me? When pleasing God becomes the goal, it's not so much whether I'm right or wrong. It's not so much of whether how she acted. It's, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Lord, how do you want me to respond? Lord, what do you want me to do about that? And so there's two of many more we could chat about here.
Man, those are so helpful. And yeah, I would confess exactly what you said. I don't know that I've ever lost an argument in my own mind. And but that I think that points out our blindness. And, you know, we're running out of time today, but I want to talk some more about these implications. I'm going to see if you can come back and chat with us, because this is where the rubber meets the road. One of the most brilliant things in the counseling room is when you see counselees start to recognize what you're describing, and then you start to put into practice some of these things that you're referring to here that help them to move down the road. I even as you were talking, I was thinking so much about Matthew chapter 7. And the Bible's not unaware that conflict is going to happen, but he tells us how we're supposed to handle that, starting first with self-examination, seeing ourselves before the Lord. And we have such a tendency to want to point out other people's flaws or their wrong thinking or their wrong practice or the wrong things they said. And the Lord tells us to look at ourselves first in those points of conflict. So if you come back, I'd love to chat some more about some of those implications.
I would love to. And you emphasize the right word there. First is what Jesus says in Matthew 7. First,
that's right.
Deal with the plank in your own eye. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. This has been great helping us get started about how we pursue peacemaking in families. You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, this week talking to Dr. Jones, I was reminded about his teaching at Southern Seminary. And Southern Seminary is one of our training centers here at ACBC. And that reminded me that we have 90 training centers around the U.S. and several places around the world. And I want to remind all of you of the type of training that you can get from ACBC at these specific training centers. You can enjoy the fundamentals if you're looking into becoming certified and you need to get the fundamentals training. Any one of these certified training centers can help you in that process to receive the necessary requirements for our phase one training. You can also receive more intense, advanced opportunities for training in specializations or other theological and counseling issues at our training centers. And for those of you who are certified, don't forget your CEUs, your continuing education units that are required. You can find these at our various training centers around the country. And you can find out about our training centers, where they're located, and the training that they're offering on our website, as always, biblicalcounseling.com.